Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
It is a Monday. It is MLB Monday Mayhem. That I would like to just say on Sports on the Line. I'm back. Pretty much. It's Tuesday. But the mayhem began on Monday evening. A lot to talk about in baseball. I definitely have to get to my Yankees because I don't know what's going on. I will go through Melo and the Rockets. I will go through Kevin Love. Big news out of Cavs camp and the WNBA All-Star Game roster. I'm excited for it. I'll tell you why. And pretty much more on the show that I probably don't have typed up on here. But I will start with Jacob DeGrom because he has been an amazing pitcher this season and pretty much his whole career. But this year, he's been phenomenal because he has the lowest ERA in all of baseball. In all of baseball. And he is 5-5. I mean, the Mets have been so bad since he's been in the league. I know they made playoffs, I believe it was 2015 season, when they were 90-72, and they lost the World Series to Kansas City. It was their time. But he has posted great ERAs in his career. Earned run average. He's done that. His whole career. Team is awful this year. He's 5-5, 1.71 ERA. His whip is even low. This is the lowest since the year they did go to the playoffs. His season has been close to incomprehensible. Like I said, he leads the major leagues with a 1.71 ERA. His record is 5-5. That's not right. He's making this. He's made his last home start for the July 31st deadline for trades without waivers. He had a winless streak. He saw his winless streak reach 5 games Monday night. And the Mets made a pair of errors behind him in a 3-2 loss to the Padres last night. These are already 2 worst teams in the National League. He's allowed 3 runs, 2 earned. 5 hits in 8 innings. He struck out 10 last night. He walked 2, and his ERA rose from 1.68. He has given up 3 runs or fewer in 17 straight appearances and became the first pitcher to win fewer than 7 games in his first 20 starts with an ERA below 2. Since earned runs started being compiled in 1912, y'all, over 100 years ago. Now, I'll go into more detail about the game. Well, the Mets are 40-57. They're not going to catch up in this NL East. Margo, he hit a go-ahead triple in a 2-run fifth inning by the Padres after Joey Bats, who ain't known for fielding. He dropped Christian Villanueva's fly ball. What was that? Padres made it 3-1 in the 6th when Will Myers doubled and scored when charging shortstop Rosario. They let Eric Hosmer's chopper get under his glove and bounce into the outfield. Just pitiful. I think I could do better, Mets. Put me out there. Put me in training. Send me to AAA. Send me to AA. I'll play with Tebow, even though he's out for the year. The Mets had 11-1 start on the year. You guys remember that? They were on fire. On fire. Remember they won the series against the Cardinals? I mean, Syndergaard, DeGrom. You had, Matt's loss. You had those three to start us off. They did their thing. Gentleman even did his thing. They swept the Phillies. They swept the Nationals. They swept the Miami Marlins. Won a series with Milwaukee. They were 12-2. And I'm like, okay, wait. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Once May hit. Remember, 17-9 in April, y'all. Mets fans, remember that? I know y'all do. I can't pick on the Tigers. I picked on them a lot. So it's y'all turn, Mets fans. Lose to Atlanta. Yeah, we got swept by Atlanta. Got swept by Colorado. Lost series to Cincinnati. Been tying series. Then, you know, they tried to make things work, but then they started losing on the Cubs. When June hit, when it starts the month, I don't know what happens. I mean, this is a better start in July. They had a better start in the month of July. This wasn't... Mets fans, I would be upset. They did deal Drew's Familia last weekend, and they're probably going to trade Asdrubal Cabrera. They're considering trading DeGrom, who's eligible free agency after the 2020 season. So just what a year in 2020, huh? DeGrom's agent said during the All-Star break he'd prefer either a long-term contract or trade. San Diego's 40-26-1. They lost 7 of 8 and 23-30 coming into the game last night. They're retooling. They dealt Brad Hand to the Indians. This was the smallest home crowd for the Mets, by the way, since April 4th. April 4th, which I believe was, let me see, was it the opening day? Well, no. April 4th, they played the Phillies. I don't know where they were at. Probably the weather was bad because about this time, everywhere from the Midwest to the East Coast was bad, weather-wise. Chessy was brought back from the minor leagues, baffled the Mets for much of the evening with his combination of the curveball and changeup at about 80 miles per hour. That's San Diego speaking. Pretty good. Pretty solid. Did good. Allowed 2 runs, 6 hits, 5 1/3 innings. Struck out 6. He walked nobody. Kirby Yates pitched the 9th for his 3rd save. Kirby Yates. Not even going to go into much more detail on that. On this game. I don't want to focus on the whole game. But just to let you know that. DeGrom, you should want to get traded. You should want to be done with this team. Go to an organization that's probably winning, that has a chance to win, or they just need that one last arm to be like, okay, we're going to win. Going to win with that arm. Like the Yankees. Like the Red Sox. I mean, Astros don't need to make a bold move like that, but if they do, they'll repeat. They will repeat. 949-270-5945. What made you upset about Monday's baseball games? Call me on that. Because I'm going on a mayhem. I will get to the NBA later. Usually I do start NBA. But I will be on the baseball topic as we do get close to NFL. I'm going to get to some NFL too. I want to take a look at the Oakland A's and the Texas Rangers because I must say that what the A's are doing is remarkable. This was a team coming in, like I said, there were top 5 in power projections. Top 5 in power hitting projections. They were number 3. Jonathan Lucroy should definitely be staying put on this team. We know what Jonathan Lucroy, we know what he's made of. We've seen him before in his career. By the way, I just got to know, do have the VR headset. You can watch the Red Sox and Orioles game. I do have that on right now. definitely not VR headset because I got to see what's going on during the show. But if you do have it, that is your game to watch. And Mookie Betts flies out first at bat. Good swing. But anyway, back to Luke Roy. He hit an early Grand Slam off his former mate and potential trade target, Cole Hamels, to get a big scoring night started for the Oakland A's. And they did win this game. They got their 24th win in their last 31 games. So won 15-3 on the Rangers. It's Monday night, last night. Luke Roy, leading ninth in the Oakland lineup, hit his fourth career Grand Slam, his first in more than 4 years, and only his second home run this year. So that's good stuff. Luke Roy was traded from Milwaukee to Texas at the non-waiver trade deadline in 2016, then sent to Colorado at the same time last season, so that's when he went back. You know, Luke Roy's over there first. Texas was 11-7 in games. Hamels started with Luke Roy catching. So, you knew what you got. Stephen Piscotty also went deep against Cole Hamels. The former World Series MVP with Philadelphia, who struggled at home all year. Cole Hamels, that's your MVP. Philly, I know you guys remember that. You guys rejoice. I remember it was such a team to watch. Hamels allowed 7 runs and 9 hits in 5 innings, had 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, and he did hit a batter. Lefty is 1-7 with a 6.41 ERA and 10 home starts this season. But away from Texas, he's 4-2 with a 2.93 ERA, and that's in 10 starts away from Arlington. And Brett Anderson struck out 6 in 6 innings. Hamels' last home start for the Rangers before next Thursday's non-waiver trade deadline, whether he's dealt or not. Piscotty ended an 0-for-11 slide, got his 13th homer. That was a 2-run shot, 5th, and the lead was 7-2. 8 of Oakland's starters had multiple hits as the A's finished with 18 overall hits. And that was just good stuff. Half of 1,000, that was where I wanted to get to. Elvis Andrus hit a 2-run homer for his 1,500th career hit. He's 29, and he is in his 10th big league season, so he would love to be like Adrian Beltre, who is over 3,000. He's at 3,117 hits, and he is in his 21st season. So we're just going to really hope that Elvis Andrus can get there. I'm hoping he does. That was the main reason why. But I do want to give a little shout-out to the Oakland A's because they won 24 of 31 games. And I have to really respect this team. Like, I remember when they came here for the holidays, I was like, this is a tough team. Told Troy that. I told a lot of people that. This is a tough team here. It ain't going to be no easy game. Oakland is on fire. They're playing way better than anybody thought. And if I'm Oakland, I'm going to do everything I can to try to get and be like, okay, can compete. I think that's what they're going to look at. Let's make a move. Let's trade somebody. Let's make a move to get better as a team. To be like, okay, well, we got our manager, Bob Melvin, who's a very good manager. Very good manager. Oakland? I'm hoping y'all make a move. Do something good. Make the move. Make the right move. I'm hoping. Because I like it. I like this team. I really do. One of the few teams I will watch. Unfortunately, it'd be so sad that they don't make the playoffs. And how good of a year they're having. And there's JD Martinez hitting a solo home run, I tell you, JD Martinez, I miss you here in Detroit. I really do. JD is something special. Boston, and I saw a stat too. And I want to pull it up so I can have the right stat. And I'm going to get to it. I'm going to find it. Because I saw it this morning. And I was like, how can you beat this Red Sox team? excuse me. I've really been sneezing all day, and I don't know why. I'm not sick or anything, John. It's not the stat that I saw earlier. I'm looking. That's not the stat. It was when they have a lead, and I saw it. Let's see. Oh, I'm trying to get it. Not the division lead. It was, oh, I know where it's at. It wasn't on my actual stats page. It was the stat of the day page from baseball, I believe I saw. I want to get it. I know that's what I saw. Yes, the Red Sox are 46-5 this season on scoring first. That's the best record in baseball. They just scored first here. So I'll let you know that it's very hard to beat this team, and they have scored first. So it looks like they're trying to set up a two-out rally, which I believe they can do. So that's one thing I wanted to get to. And also, I want to talk the Pittsburgh Pirates because they're one of those sleeper teams that Troy really likes the Pirates. And what they did yesterday was shut out the Indians. And Corey Kluber was horrible. But Josh Harrison, Gregory Polanco, use that power.
Okay.
Corey Kluber struggled. Pirates, who are on a hot streak, show no signs of letting up. Josh Harrison hit a 3-run shot. Polanco had a 2-run triple off of Kluber. The Pirates did win 7-0. The rain shortened game, okay? That's why. But I'm sure I don't think that happens. The game was called following 3 rain delays. A total of 2 hours, 3 minutes on the rain delays. The first pitch was delayed 55 minutes, and then a delay of 27 minutes followed in the third inning. The final delay was 41 minutes. So they said, okay, you know what? We'll just end the game. That's the way it's going to go. The Pirates, they did have won 10 straight for the first time since June 26th to July 5th, 2004. Kluber, 12-6, started for the first time since July 12th. He did have a sore right knee, and he got charged for 7 runs, and 3 of them were earned in 4 innings, which is why his ERA was, you know, still at 88. Kluber did say his knee wasn't an issue. Just needs to work through some of the problems with delivery. You know, he says he's going to watch some videos. So I'm sure Kluber, whoever is going to be facing Kluber next, good luck to you. Because usually when aces go out and have a bad type of game, they come out and next game, here they go. And guess what? Guess who I found out? Who he's going to be pitching against? The Detroit Tigers. He will be here in Detroit this weekend. So I believe that will be Sunday. Yeah, 29th is a Sunday. That Sunday, I will be watching. There you have it. They do have a comfortable lead in the AL Central. Kluber did receive an injection after his last start. Said at the time knee had bothered him. I don't know what's going on. And they gave him 10 days between starts with help from the All-Star break. Kluber is 10-2 with a 1.99 ERA in his first 14 starts, 2-4 in his last 7, with a 5.21 ERA. Trevor Williams had 6 shutout innings. He has allowed 4 hits, which is credited with his first career complete game in shutout, which was good because he's been bad this year, and I know he's better than that. Harrison's 3-run homer in the second came after 2 defensive miscues, including a drop pop-up by Yonder Alonso with 2 outs. The error made all 4 runs in the inning unearned. Polanco's triple capped a 3-run, and Harrison played for the first time since July 15th. He had a sore hamstring. Starlin Marte has a hitting streak of 16 games. Corey Dickerson homered in 4 straight games. It was 1-for-3 with the walk. So that's a couple of notes there in that game. It will be Musgrove against Shane Bieber. Bieber be recalled. He was recalled from AAA. He's starting. I'm not tuned into that game. Like I said, I'm watching the Red Sox and the Orioles. If you have any issues on any baseball so far, 949-270-5945. I would love to talk baseball with somebody one of these days. But my thing is with the Pirates, are they really a threat? Are they a threat in the Central? Are they a threat in the National League? That's what I want to know. Because it's hard for me to, and by the way, Pittsburgh is up 2-0 already. Thanks to starter Marte, his streak has went to 17 now. Dickerson was on base. He scored. So there that is. 2-0 lead already for Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is 59. They're starting to win games. And it even hit me that they're on 10-game win streak until it was announced yesterday. Until I saw yesterday, they were on a 10-game win streak. Then those 10 games, that was the series with the Nationals, but they did win that last game 2-0. They destroyed Milwaukee. They have Cincinnati. Milwaukee, I don't know what's going on in Milwaukee. And Cincinnati, that was a good win. Now, if you can sweep Cleveland, you have to show that you can continue this because you got the Mets. You should be able to beat the Mets. But the Cubs is one of those teams you got to look out for. When August comes along, I want to see, are they for real? Can they really make some? Because, I mean, honestly, they're playing better than what they're supposed to. They're supposed to be one of the worst teams in baseball this year because of their pitching staff. And you've seen their pitching staff be bad so far this year. They're only 7 games back. They're ahead of St. Louis by a game and a half. And St. Louis was one of those teams I was like, I'd be a little scared to see them. But look at this pitching staff. I mean, they just can't win. Von Nova, his ERA is high. Chad Cool, he's on 10-day. Nick Kingham, Musgrove. I mean, Talion has the lowest ERA out of the starters, the everyday starters they have, and it's 3.80. So they allow a lot of runs. They allow a lot of home runs. And that's an issue, big-time issue. The starters really hold that number of the home runs. They hold it. The whip, I can't be upset at their whip. I will take it. Now, Chad Cole, I think he's been the worst pitcher that they do have. So, you know, that's just what I'm looking at there. And Felipe Vasquez, he's their closer, and he does a great job. Their bullpen isn't bad. I mean, Michael Feliz, he's better than this, better than what he's showing. I know that. But the rest of the guys, they've done their part. The bullpen has done what they could to make sure that they can win these games. But this is the way they started the year. It really is. And remember, they played us. They swept us. I said it was going to be a long year for the Tigers. Very long year for us. They played Minnesota against Cincinnati. They beat the Cubs. They beat Miami. They did lose series to Colorado. Things started getting real when they lost that, and then they lost to Philly. They lost the first game against the Tigers. It just wasn't looking good for Pittsburgh going forward. They losing and losing. They started playing 500. Next thing you know, they're 5 games under 500. Next thing you know, they're 8 games under 500. And boom, here we are today. 10-game win streak. That's what they needed. And let's see if they can continue that. So, Pittsburgh fans, you shouldn't be this good. So don't come out here. Just be happy. Just be happy with where you at right now, Pittsburgh. The Red Sox. I believe they have never shot to win at all this season because of their offense. And I said, but we know how postseason bats go. But when you look at this offense, and I want to focus in on yesterday's game as well, because, I mean, this is a good offense. You just seen JD hit a home run today, right? And no, Mitch Moreland, I believe, got one. Ricky P won yesterday. Ricky P threw 6 shutout innings.
Whatever your amount is.
They're dominating.
The Kangaroo's pouch provides comfort and security for the little ones inside. Possibly the inspiration behind
his
comfort flex feet with a breathable pouch.
They're dominating
and probably
most major league teams.
Comfort flex feet.
Most of them. So it's just, it's no surprise the way they're playing the Red Sox. Ricky P and scattered 6 hits. Over 6 scoreless innings. Mitch Moreland hit a home run. And I know it just seemed easy for Boston. Benintendi drove in 2 runs for the AL East leaders. They're pulling away. It won 15-17, with 40 games over 500, 71-31. This is for the first time since 1949. And this reminds me of said Tiger team. Old Tiger teams that we had to deal with, that me and Troy had to deal with, that I was so adamant about. It's that same way Boston leads the series 10-1. I mean, they only lost one game. The Orioles won 7-4. The Red Sox have taken care of them. There's rain delays going on here. 43 minutes and 19 minutes. Ricky P struck out 6, walked 1. It's 12-4. Nice bounce back performance by him. A nice bounce back year for Ricky P. The Orioles are 28-73. They're 42.5 games behind the Red Sox. Like I said, the Red Sox are 10-1 against this team. 1-9 straight at Camden Yards. Trying to make it 10 straight. They have the best record at Camden Yards. The history of baseball. Now, since the Orioles traded Manny Machado, this is at the All-Star, the Orioles have lost 4 in a row. Jonathan Scope has to be the guy, and he played well. Scope has to be the next guy up, and I like Jonathan Scope. I loved him when he first came up. He hit 2-run homer off Brandon Workman. They brung in Craig Kimbrell. Get the save. Get it done. They didn't want no. Now, on Orioles' side, Guzman gave up 5 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks. And just nothing he could do. Maybe the rain delay has something to do with it. Y'all know how I feel about rain delays and they're going back out there. Moreland made it 1-0 in the second, had a 12 home run. I mean, and that's the thing. I think that's one of the reasons why the Indians did lose. But let's focus on the Boston Red Sox real quick, because I think they do have a shot. And like I said, they remind me of the Detroit Tigers. And what I found out earlier this week was that when at the All-Star game, JD was talking to Justin Verlander. He said he don't know how in the world we didn't win the real series in 2014. He said 2014, and I'm trying to think maybe 13 when we lost the Red Sox. But 14 was just a year. Was it 15? What year was that when JD, the year we lost to the Orioles and we got swept? And I was just so excited for it. And I want to say it was the 14th season. I want to say that's what it was. Yeah, it was the 14th season. The year we got swept by Baltimore. But it was the year before that, too. We lost to Boston. I mean, for Max Scherzer not to get that call when it was a 2-2 count. I've never mentioned that. I'll have to pull up the tape, and I was like, okay, how did Max Scherzer get that call? Change on the game. But the Red Sox have Dave Dombrowski. He was our GM. He put our team together. Look at the team he put together in Boston. Him getting J.D. Martinez put them over the top, and I said it in March. Once they got J.D., I said, oh, man. They have themselves the power here that they need. But Mookie Betts is doing the same thing, hitting for power. He's matching them. And they're both hitting for average and power. They're 6 games up, Boston is, on the Yankees. All the Yankees got to really do is just win. And they have to be careful. Because the Oakland A's are coming. That AL West is coming. Yankees got to be careful. I can say Yankees in a minute. But what Alex Cora is doing for this team is just brilliant. It's great. The year the Red Sox do bad, here they come. They come out the gates next season, best team. It happened in 2013 when they won it. They came out the gates, good team. Now, going on, the Tigers was the best team in American League. You know, everyone's like, okay, I'm looking at the Tigers. And now, this year, everybody's looking at Boston. Xander Bogaerts going up. That's not even forget about Benintendi. Mookie Betts is sitting at a 350 clip. 350. JD just got his 30th home run, by the way. That was his 30th. These guys are hitting. You gotta love it. And this is an interesting stat here. MLB stat of the day just came in about a few minutes ago. Jesse Winker of the Cincinnati Reds has 49 walks and just 46 strikes this season. Only one qualified victory has finished the season with more walks than strikes. Now with 2007 American League Rookie of the Year, Dustin Pedroia. That's an interesting stat. How about that? Very interesting of a stat. In 2007, and that was the year they won the World Series. Now, unfortunately, the Reds won't win it. That was the year they won it. They beat, who they beat? I believe it was Rockies. I want to say it was Rockies. I know Rockies went one of those years, 06, 07. I know 106, that was the Tigers and Cardinals. I believe it was 08. You try to remember this stuff, right? I remember them playing the Indians. Now, that I do remember. The Red Sox playing the Indians. The ALCS and what a game seven that was. I mean, Red Sox really took control of game five, six, and seven. I mean, they're in must-win situations. Big-time must-win situations. Good team, Indians had. Good win. But back to the 07 stat. Because if you want to know, very good team, too. Dustin Pedroia had, 47 walks, 42 strikeouts. That was his line. That was his line of that year. Played 139 games, so he played a lot of games. He was an everyday second baseman. Very good. Averaged at 317. He had 8 homers, 50 RBIs. I mean, Mike Lowell did his thing. Of course, Big Poppy. Manny Ramirez over here. Kevin Youkilis. How you forget about him? Cole Crisp. And, of course, Terry Francona. You guys know about Terry Francona. I mean, he's a legend. Legend in the game. 2 World Series. He's won 2 of them. Boston. Before he went on and moved on to the Indians. Won the AL pennant. Supposed to be 3-3. 3-0, I mean. I'll say 3-3. What's wrong with me? The Yankees are struggling to hit home runs. I don't know if that should be a concern, but I want to talk about this Yankees game last night. It was pitiful. Pitiful game. I'll go into detail about this game. Excuse me yet again. Because I don't know what it is about the Rays. The Rays, they play quiet every year. They play at 500 every year. You would figure they'd be the worst team in baseball. Like, in simulations, they had a bad start. So they'll probably be the worst team in baseball on the simulations on the MLB. They probably will be. We'll see what happens. But the only thing Gary Sanchez was quick to do was accept the blame for his lack of effort. His effort was terrible. He failed to hustle on a pair of key plays. Jake Bowers hit a 3-run homer and scored with some nifty base running. Tampa Bay Rays beat Luis Severino in the New York Yankees. That loss is going to go to Severino. Now, his earned runs ain't going to be allowed too much. The Yankees loaded the bases against Jose Alvarado with one out in the ninth when Brett Gardner singled, Aaron Judge walked, and Stanton was intentionally walked. Aaron Hicks hit into a force out at the plate. Alvarado got his first save when Sanchez grounded out. A play where Hicks beat the play at second, but the Yankees catcher was thrown out at first after jogging most of the way there. You blame Gary Sanchez. You blame Gary Sanchez for this. He knows he should have ran harder. I mean, your effort has to be better. Now, Aaron Hicks limped off the slide. Now, the game. It was all right. Another Aaron that he plans to watch plays talking with Sanchez. I mean, you should have seen that. That's you're see all of this. You know what you see. Boom. Don't baby play. You were baby. Don't. You're gonna be at the verge of making the playoffs. You're having a this year. You got Seattle doing one opportunity. Seattle. Fortunately, Seattle can't take you off. You gotta walk in there. Washington don't get hot. You had to hope for that because Ohtani back in hitting home runs again. You're lucky you are 63-30 Yankees. But that might not last. If you're going to be playing with this type of effort, now you're up one zip. I give you that. Didi Gregorius grounded out. Brett Gardner scores. Good. But, I mean, the effort last night was pitiful. Now, I want you guys to look it up. If you guys haven't seen it, you got to see it. Pitiful effort. End of the game. End of the game. Pull up the end of the game. They have a condensed game. Go on the MLB app. You can watch condensed game for free. Bowers got a 6-homer. This kid Bowers is amazing to watch. Severino allowed a season-high 7 runs, 11 hits, and 5-plus innings. 24-year-old righty struck out 8 to reach 504 for his career. Joining Al Downing, Lefty Gomez, the only Yankees pitchers to reach 500 strikeouts with the club before turning 25. So that's pretty good. The Yankees are 13-13 in their last 26 games, a stretch that started when Tampa Bay had a 3-game sweep over the Yankees. Remember that? A few weeks ago, the Yankees fell 6 games back of Boston. Their biggest deficit, 6.5 games. And that was since April 21st. Remember, Boston's just been hot all year. Daniel Robinson, who had a pinch hit walk-off grand slam, and Sunday's 6-4 win over Miami. Can't forget that. I'll tune into that. Got his third hit with a solo homer in the 3-run 6 that extended Tampa Bay's advantage 7-3. Now, Yankees scored within 4-3 in the 6th when Stan crossed the plate on Jesus Sucre's ball and an RBI single by Sanchez. Stan had a 2-run single in a 3-run 7th that did cut the Yankees deficit 7-6. He went 4-for-4 and has 15 hits in his last 31 at-bats. I talked about Stan. He's getting them hits going. That average is creeping. Try to tell you, don't sleep on Stanton. And Troy even had to remind me. It starts to get hot. His back gonna heat up. It's that 285 clip. .001 over Aaron Judge. How about that? They haven't hit home runs. I don't know if that's an issue, but they gotta pitch. They gotta play as a team. They gotta play as one. And they gotta win games. 13-13, last 26. Ain't gonna cut it. Tampa Bay gives you trouble. Tampa Bay plays you well, especially when they're at Tropicana. Early game tomorrow, 12:10. I read off all the early games before we get off air. And they get Kansas City at home. Now, they should be able to win these home games. But guess what? Not this weekend, but next weekend, They go to Boston for four games. And you are hyping. All four. Can't wait to see the Bulls. Let's assume something's going to happen. Let's see. Yeah. The Friday matchup. Like I said, same thing with Cardinals next start. He's going to go crazy. City, watch out. Severino comes at 1 o'clock. At Yankee Stadium. Want to say a lot of baseball. If you want to still chime in on baseball, 949-270-5945. NBA. Melo. The Rockets and Melo agreed to a deal. Of course, I believe that is an upgrade. I said it. The Rockets need to get Carmelo Anthony. That needs to happen. And Melo needs to go there. I think this is the best. This is it. This is what Rockets are Melo's best and last hope. Pretty much. Nobody else. He did reach the postseason the first time in 5 years, yes. He never got the success that Westbrook and Paul George. He had career lows in scoring, usage, true shooting percentage, assists, win shares for 48 minutes. His playoff showing was horrible. He rode the bench for most of the time during the last two games of the OKC season, which was against Utah. Don't know what's going on with Carmelo Anthony. Now he's getting the veteran minimum. He's once he's officially been traded to Atlanta and then released, so with his career at the crossroads, can he still be effective at this point? And if he can, what would that role look like? He can be effective. He hasn't had a point guard since Chauncey Billups. He hasn't had a point guard since Allen Iverson. I know Allen Iverson isn't a point guard, but hey, he ain't Russell Westbrook. Melo knew, AI knew that was Melo's team. There you go. Melo's got to take a back seat because James Harden. But James Harden and Chris Paul is going to give him the ball. I do believe that. I think he's going to be able to get up some good shots being on his team. He didn't have good shots. He didn't have nobody to set him up. I thought Westbrook's going to set him up. I thought Paul George's going to set him up. James Harden and Chris Paul is going to teach him. Chris Paul especially is going to teach him where to be, where to go. And guess what? Guess what, you guys? Carmelo Anthony has been under Mike D'Antoni's system before. The Knickerbockers. Remember what Melo was doing? They're down the Adno. That's the way Boston. First round. Okay, yeah. That's Boston. Still had the team again. Following year, hey, they had to play LeBron James. That was the year they were the 7th seed. I know that they didn't have him no more. Mike Woodson came in and did his thing. Mike D'Antoni was 18-24. Then he started turning around from New York. And I was like, okay, there we go. Mike Woodson using Iman Shumpert. Got J.R. Smith over there. Good team. Shumpert's just a rookie. But Shumpert's the guy. Good players on this team. But Melo. Excuse me. Now that he is a part of the Rockets team that does have Chris Paul and James Harden, I think this is good for him. I'm going to hope that it's good for him. This is the chance for the Rockets to try to beat Golden State. Now they're going to need Capella, because last time I checked, I don't think Capella's still there. I don't think so. So, now, I'm just waiting October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Hopefully, not. I don't want the same Melo like we saw in OKC. I don't. I don't want to see it. I want to see old Melo. Oh, no. So people can be quiet. Everybody wants them to retire. I don't want them to. I think you got a little something, Les. What he showed me in the gym on his video last summer. You know, I think he could bring that in OKC. Now, let's see what he can do in Houston. Now, interesting enough, and I don't want to stress about it because I still think Golden State, they have one more chance to win it. I still don't know if I would place Houston in the top three. They still got to get with Capella. I think that the Lakers improved big time. No one sees that because of personalities. Everybody want to be so judgmental on these guys. The Lance Stevensons, the Rondos, their personalities, okay. And the young coach. People forget about LeBron James. He's a big time role model. He will get his teammates. Get them all together. I want to talk about Kevin Love. He got an extension. Kevin Love got paid from the Cavs. Didn't see it coming. They wanted to see some trade options. But now, if he can just stay healthy, I said this before the show, he's going to be back. He's going to be balling like his old days where he's the guy. He is the guy now. You don't have to be behind LeBron James. It's all on Kevin Love. And I think Kevin Love can do it. He can take this team to the playoffs. He's healthy. 25-12. Easy. You've seen it. You've seen it in the playoffs. He took over the Pacers series. If it wasn't for him, Cavs probably lose. Easy. Well, easier said than not. I mean, you could call me and fight me on that. Y'all know it. And I heard it from Skip, and I agree with him. And I've seen the game. I said, thank God for Kevin Love. I even tweeted it. Thank God for Kevin Love. I think I even said it on the air. Once they got the matchup with Toronto. But I look at the East as more competitive. Got Boston. Got Toronto now with Kawhi's over there. Got Philly. Throw Cleveland in there. Washington got better. You only can hope the Pistons are healthy. I think we can be good. The Heat, they're healthy. They're really good last year. They got the same team. More going to be better. It's going to be Golden State ain't going to last. The Browns only in Lakerland for 3 years. Y'all forget how old LeBron is. All these young players that are in the league right now have a chance to be stars. Devin Booker is, what, 22? Just got paid. He's a star. Phoenix could be your next team. They play together. Boston, Philly, all these young players. You guys will get rid of conferences because why? Because LeBron James is going to be retiring in 2 years. By the time y'all say, okay, we're getting rid of conferences, LeBron James is done. KD will be 30 next year. Steph Curry, he's just one ankle injury away being done. Klay Thompson's going to be leaving to get paid. Draymond Green's probably going to leave to get paid. So now what? Lakers got all those young players that they didn't give up for nothing. Not for no Kawhi Leonard. They're waiting on Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's what, 26, 25, 26? Oh, y'all, think about this. These guys are old now. Ain't nobody after that got any type of leeway of what happens in the league. Browns gonna be done. He's gonna be an owner or a coach. He's gonna do something in the NBA. Okay, calm down. The Cavs probably made the playoffs. Might have the same 8 teams that we had the following year. Unfortunately, that's unfortunate for the Pistons. Ah. Jeez. Now, WNBA, I am always excited for the All-Star game. Because I really like WNBA. For those that don't know me, I really do. And we do have Team Della Don, Team Candace Parker, and Team Della Don. She was the MVP in 2015, by the way. Simone Augustus, Sue Bird, Duana Bonner, Sylvia Fowles, Brittany Griner, Kelly McBride, Brianna Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Kristy Tolliver, Asia Wilson. Now that team sounds so unstoppable. But this is Candace Parker's team. Two-time MVP. She has Liz Cambage, who can be the most dominant woman player ever. Tina Charles, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Chelsea Gray, Drew Lloyd, Angel McCautry, Maya Moore, Jeannie Ogumake, NECA Ogumake, so she got the Ogumake sisters, Allie Quigley, who is your three-point shootout champion. Now, this is on this Saturday, so come Friday, I will hype this up. This will be on at 3:30 on ABC. This was conducted via conference call. Della Don made the first pick, and Candace Parker made the second pick. They alternated picks until all players were selected. They did choose them regardless of the conference affiliation. That is WNBA's first WNBA game without a matchup between the East versus the West. And I like that because the implications don't even matter. So they'll probably do that for everything, and including baseball. I think they should do it there. I don't know. Whatever. Of course, this is Asia Wilson's first All-Star selection because she is a rookie, of course, from South Carolina, who I've raised about all spring long. And J.D. Martinez is up bat right now. So I know I'll switch subjects, but I just have to let that be known because he could go for number two in the home run department there. Their second All-Star selection is definitely Brianna Stewart, Kayla McBride of the Las Vegas Aces, Brianna Stewart from Seattle, who looks like they might be your favorite to win, and Duana Bonner making the All-Star team, which is pretty good, out of Auburn. How about that, SEC? And on Candace Parker's team, Jewel Lloyd made her first All-Star appearance, her third year out of Notre Dame. Of course, Skylar Diggins in her fourth. There are a couple of number twos. Jeannie Ogumike from Stanford, of course. That's where her sister's from as well. You see Liz Cambage making the All-Star selection second time in her second year. Chelsea Gray, second time. A lot of second-timers on Team Candace Parker's. So it should be a good one. Should be a very good one. But I'm just excited for it. Because they have a great dunk contest on the layup line. They just have fun. The girls have fun. You gotta love to see it. And three-point shootout, Allie Quigley is going to try to repeat. And it's just fun. I mean, I know it doesn't get a lot of looks at it, dude. Like the NBA, no exposure there. But I'm telling y'all should watch it. Saturday, 3:30. ABC, hey, I'm all in. I would love to watch it. It'd be fun. Watch the girls in the All-Star game as they approach as almost the playoffs. The playoffs is near for WNBA, so they're looking forward to it. And we'll see who wins it all. But we are very, very excited for this and that they were able to pick their team. I love it. So I think Della Don made some great picks. Seriously. Simone Augustus is going to play hard. You always want to see Maya Moore and Candace Parker on the same team, and you've seen it every year they've been in the West. But, you know, you just look at those two, you know, and you got Liz Cambage, who's up and coming, Skylar Diggins. Those got some good players on this team. You know, Drew Lloyd. You know, we got the Ogumake sisters. Gotta love them. You know, she already knows NECA because they play on Sparks. But, you know, Jeannie is pretty good, too. So, you know, I'll put money on Dollar Don to win, that team to win, but you know, let's not, you know, just jump into conclusions. There is a game on ESPN, too. New York Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx, they do have a game tonight. That should be fun to see. But I want to talk about Julio Jones real quick. He does not plan to report to Falcons on schedule without an adjustment to his contract, which has 3 years remaining, per league sources. He is set to make $10.5 million in 2018. Team is aware of his mindset at this time. When Julio Jones is playing 54-41, he's 8-9. I don't know what's going on with this. Y'all know how I feel about this. Y'all know how upset I get when they want to sit out and because they want more money. Julio Jones. I'm going to try not to be me because I've said the same thing to Mr. Bill, Le'Veon Bill of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Julio Jones last year, and I talked about this earlier this year on the show. You only had 3 touchdowns, bro. 3. I need you to get in the end zone, brother. Yes, you make big plays. Yes, you get the yards. But I need points. 3 touchdowns last year, and you played every game? 3 of them. 3. Career high was 10. I was a sophomore year. Why do you insist on holding out? You go out there and play. I need touchdowns. Look at the best of the best. Look at Odell. Look at Watch Him Whip, Watch Him Nae Nae. He had 3 last year, and how many games did he play? Played 4 games and started 2 of them. That's who should be holding out. Odell Beckham. But he don't need to. Because he knows he's got money. He's getting money. He's getting paid now. He knows it. He had 12 his rookie year, 13 second year, 10 third year. He's already beaten you on double-digit touchdowns in a season with 3 of them. And would have been a 4th year if he didn't get hurt. And now he's going to come back and he's going to get more touchdowns. Why do you want an extension? Let's look at Antonio Brown. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of people wanting more money. You getting a lot of money, $10.5 million? Why don't you go out on that field, report to camp, do what you're supposed to do? You got a preseason game that's got to be played in a couple of weeks. Less than 2 weeks, probably. 2 weeks. Antonio Brown, hey, he had 9 touchdowns last year, okay? I ain't going to hold him back for that. I'm not. 9, that's close to 10. He's had 12, he's had 10, he's had 13. Julio, what are you doing outside of fly balls? Because, I mean, you're 6'3", 220. You've given me 3 touchdowns. And Odell Beckham's given me 3 touchdowns. And he's played 25% of the games that you play. Do something, Julio. I mean. Can somebody in Atlanta say something? Tell him that, okay, I need you to report to camp. You want to sit out? Okay, I don't need you. You don't need this money. I need somebody to pay you the same thing, whatever, because they're paying other guys. They are. I'm just sick of that. I'm sick of holding out. I'm sick of holding out, so I hate it. I get very disgusted. I had the same issue with Le'Veon Bell. Now, his touchdowns might be a little harder to get than a wide receiver. Maybe. Maybe not. But Le'Veon Bell wasn't getting double-digit home runs. Touchdowns. Say home runs. I'm looking right at the game. You're going to get paid, man. Julio, you just got paid. You're going to get even more. You're 28. You just can't get in the end zone. You have 43 career touchdowns. And Odell Beckham already has 38. Odell Beckham already has 38 in the first 4 years. You had 26 in your first 4 years. Take that for data. I know that he has a lot of receiving yards. He's had at least 1,400 in each of his last four seasons. It's tied for the longest streak in NFL history. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Marvin Harrison did it. Okay, good. Congratulations. I need you in the end zone. You whining about money, you already getting paid. Getting paid. You not going to report? Why don't you go out there and show them that you really deserve all that money? Go out there and report. But yeah, you're getting 1,400 yards. It comes easy because you're 6'3". You're 6'3". And boy, boy, boy. Jonathan Scope is on fire. Just hit a two-run shot. He hit one yesterday. Remember? Manny Machado told Jonathan Scope, I want you to have my locker. That's the respect. He has 14 home runs. It's Jonathan Scope or bust now. Because the Orioles are so bad. But here we go. The Lynx, they go for a season sweep against New York Liberty in their final game before the All-Star break. Like I said, that's tonight. This should be turning ESPN2 right now. The game featured four players named to the All-Star game with a combined 21 previous All-Star selections. So, BPI has Minnesota Lynx winning 57% chance. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to watch the game. Not. Don't care to watch New York Liberty. Don't care. Jay Martinez is the first player to hit 30 home runs in his first season with the Red Sox since David Ortiz, Big Poppy Ortiz, in 03. That's good company to be in. And the Pirates have scored 6-plus runs in 7 straight games for the first time since 1946, when they were led by rookie and future Hall of Famer Ralph Kiner. So, there they go. I mean, Pirates are hot. What can you say? They're just hot. They're up 7-1. The Bieber couldn't do anything. Corey Dickerson got a 6-triple. Gregory Polanco got his 18th home run. It's tough. Hopefully the Tigers catch them slipping this year. I mean, this weekend. We'll see. Because, I mean, I didn't expect it. I didn't expect the Indians to score a lot of runs. I mean, they're at 1. It's Jose Ramirez, Monty. Dodgers are already up 1-0. Thanks to Mr. Jock Peterson scoring on a wild pitch by Aaron Nola. And, of course, you know, Jonathan Scope put the Orioles up 2-1. And the Yankees are still up 1-0. The Mets are up 3-1 on San Diego, thanks to Devin Mesoraco. And his 8th double. I believe it's 8th double with the Mets. He's been hitting pretty well. There are games about to start. The Oakland A's and Texas about to start. Arizona and Chicago, good matchup. Nats and the Brewers. Bryce Harper is not going to be in the starting lineup. He has a stomach bug, but he is still on the roster to come in, pinch his situation if needed. And, of course, our Tigers are going to be coming on in 10 minutes. Houston and Colorado is a game that I'm going to be tuned in. I'm going to be all into it because it's Garrett Cole, Tyler Anderson. That's something to watch. Around WNBA, yes, the Atlanta Dream play the L.A. Sparks, which I have a little issue with the L.A. Sparks. Don't know what's going on with them. They shouldn't be this, well, they're 15-10. They shouldn't be this bad. Connecticut, the Sun, they're up 10 on the Mystics. Elena Belladonna is 19 at the half. And Jasmine Thomas has 11. Seattle is up 12 on the Fever, who will have number one pick. Jewel Lloyd is on fire. The young lady, Jewel Lloyd, is on fire. And the game on ESPN2 has started already. Tomorrow there's early baseball. A lot of early games. I will talk about them. There's not a lot of games on at night. All the games will at least be close to being over with by the time we get on the air tomorrow at 7. And it's only a few games to watch in the evening. But tomorrow, Let's see. Is there any matchup I'm really looking forward to? Maybe the Dodgers and the Phillies because Zach Arrieta has started. Taillon against Bauer should be a good one. See if Bauer can slow down Pittsburgh. I know Trevor Bauer. I've seen Trevor Bauer in big games. He's going to give it his best tomorrow. So I'm definitely all in. At 1 o'clock, 1:10 start, I'm into that matchup. Tigers in Kansas City. You know, two lefties going at it. Matt Boyd's been horrible, but Danny Duffy's always fun to watch. Robbie Ray, John Lester would be a good matchup at 220. Arizona Cubs. Irvin Santana. How about this? My boy Irvin Santana is back. He is making his first start of the year tomorrow at 4. That's must-see as well. And 7 o'clock is David Price, Dylan Bundy. That's going to be a fun matchup. Edwin Jackson, Martin Perez, Charlie Morton, John Gray. Big Game James against Tyler Skaggs. Big underdogs for the White Sox. That's something to look at, too. So that is your show today. I will see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We'll continue talking baseball. You guys enjoy your day. It's National Tequila Day, too. So get your Patron or whatever tequila you like.